This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Friday, March the 22nd, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
The Canadian Association of Drugs and Technologies in Health said public funding should not cover patients older than 12. However, they have also recommended that the SMA treatment Spinraza should be made available to a broader population of patients. Spinraza, or nusinersen, is manufactured and marketed by Biogen. As of now, it is available in more than 45 countries and jurisdictions. Biogen has called this determination disappointing. The Canadian Association expanded its recommendation to include patients 12 and younger who have never walked, and also to infants who have the genetic mutation that causes SMA, but are asymptomatic. They concluded that scientific evidence was insufficient to justify public funding for patients older than 12, and the same for those who have reached the ability to walk independently, which is usually in SMA type 3 cases. Biogen Canada has acknowledged a degree of inclusiveness with this new recommendation, but they are extremely concerned for SMA patients who fall outside of their limited criteria. Susie Vanderwijk is Cure SMA Canada's executive director. She was happy to hear that more patients will have the ability to access treatment. For these patients and their families, there is hope for a better future with improved health and a longer life. However, she is very disappointed that some patients will be left with no treatment options. This was their only hope. As with many rare disease treatments, Spinraza, or nusinersen, is very expensive. According to a Globe and Mail article, the price in Canada is $708,000 the first year and $354,000 annually thereafter. The Canadian Association of Drugs and Technologies in Health assesses the costs and benefits of treatments. This is so they can advise provinces and territories on whether to fund them. Currently, provinces outside of Quebec cover Spinraza for patients up to 7 months who are experiencing muscle weakness. Although the agency's advice is not binding, the province's healthcare plans rarely deviate from it. Quebec has its own entity for evaluating new treatments for reimbursement. They are called the Institut National de l'Excellence et Santé en Services Sociaux. Last December, it found that Spinraza should be funded for a broad population of SMA patients. Health Canada approved Spinraza in June 2017. That December, the Canadian Association of Drugs and Technologies in Health announced that the treatment should be covered. But this was only for patients who have SMA type 1. They also had to be diagnosed before they turned 7 months old. At the time, the agency said it found insufficient evidence that Spinraza was efficient, safe, or a cost-effective treatment beyond that group. Lawrence Korngut, MD, is a neurology professor and director of the Calgary Neuromuscular Program at the University of Calgary. He said this is concerning for many teenage and adult patients with SMA, especially those with type 3 who are or were able to walk independently at some point. He also said that the priority of most patients with SMA is to preserve their mobility and independence as much as possible. This is due to their inherent weakness and functional limitations. He concluded that it's unfortunate that Spinraza will now only be available to this important group of patients who live in Quebec, but nowhere else in Canada.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today community editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, March 19th, 2019. A few days ago, I was talking with my friend Young, a fellow journalist and comic book enthusiast who now writes a column for Charcot-Marie Tooth News. Ever since we started having conversations about our disabilities, and since I lured him into writing his column, we talk openly about things that we never discussed as college students. For the longest time, I didn't even know that Young had CMT. Given that his disability is significantly less visible than mine, the topic never really came up. He has the ability to conceal his disability if he wants. People can't tell him that he has CMT just from looking at his physical appearance. I, on the other hand, have a more difficult time hiding my disability. The wheelchair and robotic arm kind of give it away. Still, you wouldn't believe how many physicians have asked me if I could just hop on out of my chair and over to the x-ray table. This dichotomy fascinated me and prompted us to talk about how much our disabilities coincide with our identities. Jung has only recently begun to explore this topic in his writing and in his personal life. Another close friend of ours had no idea he had CMT either. As someone born with a very visible physical disability, I've had to deal with SMA as a major part of my life since I was a child. Yet, I've only come to embrace it as a unique part of my identity in recent years. Whereas it once was something I tried to ignore, it's now something that influences my writing, my attitude, my experiences, my relationships, and my subversive humor. However, it's not the only part of my identity. A few days ago, when I went in for my weekly physical therapy session, an older person approached me in the waiting room. For whatever reason, I have a sixth sense when it comes to predicting awkward encounters with strangers related to my disability. Peter Parker has his spider sense, and I have my someone is about to say something really dumb to the guy in the wheelchair sense. With a straight face, this person looked at me and said, "So, do you hope to not have to be in that wheelchair one day?" Bingo, my ableist sense worked again. Unperturbed, I simply stated that I was born with a disability, and that being in a wheelchair doesn't really bother me. A minute later, I was relieved when one of the staff members I know walked by, and I quickly turned to her to talk about recent and upcoming horror movies. Michael Myers literally saved me from a cringingly awkward conversation. As the other person walked away, my friend Kenny, who drove me to my appointment, was still reeling from watching this encounter unfold. He told me how appalled he was that someone would say something so ridiculous. I then continued to make his mouth drop by telling him about the two crusaders who attempted to heal me in the middle of a movie theater a few years ago. I'm not a big selfie guy, but I would have loved to capture his face in the moment I told this story. I don't need to explain just how ignorant, rude, and foolish this person's question was that day. It speaks for itself. My takeaway, though, is that this person, and many others, look at people like me and see only the wheelchair. They see my disability, but they don't try to see me. There are other ways that my disability has helped shape me into the person I am today. Still, I am much more than a person with a disability who uses a power wheelchair. I'm a writer, a pop culture enthusiast, a person of faith, and a lady magnet. I simply wish that people would try to see the whole picture when they look at me, and not just offer a quick glance. Also, if I had had enough wit in the moment, I would have answered this question with, "Well, I kinda hope I'm not magically healed right away. Otherwise, my caregivers and I would lose our jobs." I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multi-Channel Content Director.